All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I guess you're ready for some degeneracy, if I could get that right, because it's Grim's Hentai Corner, and we're back with Dead End Aegis. Now, you might wonder, why are you back to Dead End Aegis? Well, look at my bit shoot. It's got 170 fucking views on the second video, and I literally posted nothing. I didn't post anything that was all that revealing. It's nothing like what you guys are seeing for it. So, yeah, I'm actually gonna have to do a separate intro, like you'll hear it. Because I have to cut this, and people are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, yeah, I have to cut it for BitChute, because it's got a stupid amount of views on there. I'm like, what the fuck, why are people looking at this so much over there? But, yeah, we're gonna continue. What is this thing? What is it supposed to inspect? A sense of dread overcomes her as she shouts. Your genitals. Females that have been infested by the CC tend to experience genital development. Your ability to draw out the special warfare gear's power is proportionate to your genitals' development. Though the doctor's tone is entirely calm and rational, his words are utterly absurd. Minori is aghast. As your power grows, there is a possibility... It's aghast, actually. As your power grows, there is a possibility of development in your immune system, anus, memory glands, milk ducts, and nipples. I've only observed 5 specimens where this occurred, though. 5 specimens. The cold detachment of his words shocks Minori. Yes, this doctor doesn't look at her with lustful eyes. That much is true. But that is only because he doesn't see her as a fellow human being. As they speak, the cylindrical device extends even higher. Its tip stops right below her crotch. Minori breathes out in relief. She was sure this thing would violate her. One of the aides looks up. Minori Izabuka's labia majora is 79 millimeters long. They're thinner than average and don't quite hide her labia minora. Thin, but with the acceptable margin of error. For a second, Minori fails to understand what the two of them are talking about. Her labia minora are undeveloped and hang lower than usual. They're also asymmetrical, with the right side being slightly more developed. It's a slightly dark shade of fake pink, 40 millimeters long, 10 millimeters wide, with the developed right side being 14 millimeters wide. She cannot stop the disgusting logical exchange from reaching her ears. What? Why? I've never heard of this kind of examination. What's the point of checking this? This is in violation of military reg... I already told you, a special warfare trooper's strength is proportionate to her genitals' development. As such, this is an important inspection. Carry on. Even after being told that, Minori can't bring herself to accept it. She desperately struggles trying to escape, but all it succeeds in doing is making her breasts jiggle and the wires creak. Her pubic hair seems to grow along her labia minora, forming a thick rectangle from her mons pubis to her clitoris. She wishes she could plug her ears to avoid hearing this, but her hands are bound. Disinfectant fluid drips from her breast down to the platform floor. Her clitoris is 6 millimeters in diameter. The exposed section is 6 millimeters tall. It's covered by the clitoral hood when unexcited. Her perineum is 32 millimeters and her rectum has no lacerations from CC penetration. Her breasts, areolae, and nipples don't seem affected. This concludes the external inspection. Commence internal inspection. Minori attempts to close her inner thighs to prevent the men from further examining her, but her efforts are in vain. Taking over, commencing internal inspection. The cylindrical device again whirs to life. It's clearly headed towards Minori's genitals. Something cold approaches her most sensitive parts with a mechanical buzz. Stop it! This is insane! Minori tries to lift her waist in an attempt to avoid the end of the device, but the restraints render all her efforts pointless. What looks like a pair of large pincers comes out of the device, which grip her labia minora and spread them open. Her vaginal folds are exposed to the open air. Don't spread it like that. Her thin lips spread like the wings of a butterfly. Her modest urethra and her recently defiled vagina lie exposed. A2, I've checked her urethra and vagina. The round, drill-like tip of the device thrusts forward, pushing past her exposed folds to forcibly invade her vagina. No. Pull it out. Stop it. This is horrible. I don't want to be raped by a machine. She feels the machine's cold metallic touch against her delicate bits with terrible clarity. That this is being done to her by fellow humans only intensifies her anguish. Yes, I imagine this must feel awful, but this is an examination. This isn't as bad as what the CC did to you. Bear with it. Minori feels her heart breaking. As pathetic as it might be for a trained soldier, she can't help but want to scream. No! Stay out! Don't go in! No! But her screams are in vain. The device mercilessly gouges into her soft flesh, whirring as it penetrates deeper inside her. It moves without any mercy or gentleness, only with the cold precision of a machine. He says, ah, it hurts! It hurts! Stop it! Ah, it hurts! Don't touch me there! Her pale inner thighs tremble in humiliation and pain. On top of losing her virginity to the aliens, her second time isn't even with a man. Her vagina diameter is 18 millimeters. The length of her vagina when unexcited is 73 millimeters. Its width is 25 millimeters. There's some inflammation from the CC's penetration, but no lacerations. Minori feels the bizarre sensation of something biting the softest part inside her. Ah! Oh. What else are you gonna do? What more are you gonna do to me? It's just an inspection. Next, inspector attachment status. Taking over, commencing attachment inspection. An intense shock runs through the furthest depths of her vagina. Her mind whites out from the pain. Her slender, naked body breaks into an unpleasant sweat as it writhes in agony. Her matted red hair flaps about as screams leak out of her pursed lips. With each spasm of her body, the sphincters on her lower body spasm. Her rectum contracts and expands as urine trickles from her urethra. As her thighs tremble, the bands around her limbs creak and the wires holding her screech. You've got great endurance. Everyone else pissed all over the floor. Very few girls react this little. She was so preoccupied by her pain that the mention of urination suddenly makes her aware of what is happening to her body. She becomes conscious of the urine squirting from a urethra. She says, no, stop, don't come out. This is an inspection. This is messed up. But the doctor ignores her screams without sparing her so much as a glance. You see, the organ the CC implanted inside you is more sturdy than human organs. However, it reacts acutely to electrocution. Wow. If its nerves are properly connected to the rest of the body, the host will feel it too. I do agree that it's messed up, though. The moment the electricity is switched off, her body suddenly falls still. She wearily slumps forward. Unfortunately for her, her torture is not yet over. Nervous link with a CC organ confirmed. The men ignore the fact that she just pissed herself, continuing her inspection without skipping a beat. So the nerves are fine. What about the rest? Scan complete. Its stinger bumps have penetrated both fallopian tubes. It's fixed into place. The parasite's tentacles have reached the walls of her womb. Proper infestation confirmed. How do the rest of her organs look? The nerves are properly linked, but there's no visible infiltration into the surrounding organs. It's a docile one. The CC is properly implanted in her womb. Holy Grail formation confirmed. It's a success then. Very well. Disinfect her. The sound of jetting liquid rings out despite the fact that the device is still deep inside Minori. Her sweaty, dangling body begins convulsing again. Her abdomen visibly distends. It almost looks as though the alien within her is latched and is threatening to burst out. He says, my belly, no! We're just disinfecting the interior of your womb. It's just a precaution. No one's ever died from this. If you do, you'll be the first case of it happening. To finish her inspection, Minori is forced to stand in another white-walled room. There, they take her picture from the front and from behind. It reminds her of the way criminals used to have their pictures taken while in prison. Her expression remains twisted by a frown. Only after her pictures are taken is she finally allowed to shower. Once her wet body is dried with blasts of hot air, she is led to a locker room. She opens the paper packaging surrounding the uniform she'd been given after the inspection, but... What is this? They said it was a uniform, but... She holds it up. What they call a uniform is, to her surprise, less of an article of clothing and more of a fetish costume. It's actually just everything, except for the gloves and shoes are just belts. This is awful. It's not much more than a tangled mess of belts. The gloves are long enough to reach high up on her arms, and the leg covering rise high up, then the leg covering rise up high as well, but her torso remains basically naked. The belts wrap around her bottom and pass over her crotch. They do somewhat cover her genitals, but only barely. Hold on a second, guys. Let's see if we can... Let's see, hold on, let me look at this again. I know there's gotta be a way to... There we go. The belts wrap around her bottom and pass over her crotch. They do somewhat cover her genitals, but only barely. Still, she has absolutely nothing else to wear. Refusing to wear this would mean leaving the locker room completely naked, and she doesn't know where else to go but the deployment board. She has been raped by aliens, insulted and shamed while stripped naked in front of everyone else, violated by a thorough inspection of her genitals, and now this! Even if she wants to protest her treatment, she will have to leave this room first. Biting her lips to fight back her humiliation, she puts on the outfit with shaking fingers. She examines herself in the locker room mirror. This really is. This is awful. How can they treat women like this? It's just as she imagined. No, even worse. Minori has always thought of her body as ugly and unsightly, and this outfit only seems to accentuate all of her inferior features. Her breasts are unshapely and small, while her waist lacks any curves whatsoever. Her legs are pudgy, and even her pubic hair is thick and conspicuous. The way the black belts tightly press into her flesh makes all these things stand out. Ah, I love showers. I finally feel alive again. Huh, Minori, what's wrong? Hearing a voice call out to her in a friendly, familiar fashion, Minori turns around to find her Asian roommate coming out of the showers just behind her. She's just as comfortable about her nudity around Minori as she was back in their room. Minori, in contrast, once again curls up as if to hide herself. Huh? Is that the uniform they gave us? Yeah. Her roommate unwraps her own humiliating getup and swiftly puts it on. The belts push up her breasts. Even as a fellow woman, Minori feels like seeing her being dressed this way is somehow more alluring than her being nude. Huh? What? Minori, do you enjoy walking around naked? Well, that's cute too. No, it's just this is all I have to wear. I only put this on because I can't go outside naked. I mean, this does have fabric on it. See? Her roommate presses something on the side of the belt around her neck. With a loud hiss, a semi-transparent paint-like substance gushes out of the belts, covering her skin. The paint then dries, forming a thin, vinyl-like fabric. Well, that's pretty cool. What, you didn't know? I guess you hadn't figured it out. There should be instructions, I think. Here! See? It says so right here. Apparently, there should have been some instructions in the package explaining how to put the clothes on. Minori searches the packaging of her uniform, but she can't find anything. Maybe they forgot to put the instructions in hers. She takes the other girl's instructions, reading and following what's written there. Her outfit swiftly covers her skin. It is a vast improvement over the way it looked just moments ago when it seemed more essential than being naked. You really didn't know, huh? See, Satoru had me wear something like this before, so I knew how to put it on. Thank you for telling me. Minori earnestly tries to remember the girl's name, but everything she went through after they met was so intense that she can't for the life of her remember how the girl had introduced herself. Oh, don't worry about it. Most people don't wear these kinds of things. And this goes like this. There! Their uniform packages also contain thin electronic displays. Following the contained instructions, Minori and her roommate attach them to their bellies. The displays light up, displaying the word IN together with some sort of graph. Whatever data value the graph is tracking seems to have a low value at the moment from the way it looks. As suspicious as the devices are, Minori is just glad to have anything more covering up her body. She doesn't think any harder about it for now. Minori doesn't realize it yet, but in truth her modesty is really much better preserved than before. Not only is the fabric merely translucent, but it leaves her silhouette basically entirely exposed. The material over her breasts is only slightly darker, just enough so that they're barely hidden. The weird screen displays her womb where the alien organ is attached. The numbers show its level of activity. It's a pretty horrible device, all in all. If she had been asked to wear this outfit from the start, she would have complained just as fiercely. But it's a relief compared to the fetishistic belts from earlier, so she accepts it easily.
Kisaragi Nana. Kanji no 7 de rainbow de Nana. Kisaragi wa. Heya ni modottara kaite oshiete agere ne.
It's Nana Kisaragi. Nana is written with, the characters for 7 and rainbow. Nana! And Kisaragi is, I'll just write it down when we get back to our room, okay? I'm...
Iizuka Minori, desho? Minori-chan to chigatte, watashi wa chanto oboeteru mon ne?
Minori Iizuka, right? See, unlike you, I do remember people's names. I'm sorry.
Iino. Ichido de oboerareru no wa watashi no tokuki da kara. Hayaku shugo basho ni iko?
It's okay, no biggie. I'm good at remembering names. Let's hurry to the meeting, though. I don't want them to get mad at us for being late. Yeah. Minori quickly ties up her hair. That small act is enough for her to compose herself. Oh, and I almost forgot. Nice to meet you, Minori. Nana offers Minori a handshake. Her hand feels soft and gentle. Nice to meet you too. Should Minori also call Nana by her first name the way Nana used hers? Minori usually isn't so casual with people she's only recently met. Just call me Nana. Nice to meet you too, Nana. Minori, together with the rest of the cadets, wait in the deployment port. Unlike before, when they were humiliated by being forced to stand around naked, the air has become warmer. They're also allowed to sit down while waiting. Better yet, the armed male officers from earlier are absent. With Nana seated next to her, keeping her engaged with small talk, the wait isn't unpleasant at all. So you really are from the officers' academy. Yeah, how did you end up coming here, Nana? Minori hasn't grown particularly close to anyone during her time at the Officers' Academy. It wasn't that she was trying to be unsociable. She was simply so utterly fixated on becoming a special warfare trooper that she didn't have time to socialize. But even Minori, as awkward as she is, finds Nana easy to talk to.
Satoru-ga ne, nanka okane ga iru rashikute, でも給料がいいお仕事なんてそうそうないでしょ。そうしたらここ見つけてね。ダメ元で受けてみたの。
Well, it was Satoru's idea. I needed money, but jobs that pay well are hard to find, right? He mentioned this one, so I gave it a shot, and what do you know? I passed. I see. The reason for Nana's application is so utterly different from hers that Minori can hardly comprehend it. But really? I didn't think I'd actually get accepted. How do they decide who passes anyway? It's weird. The fact that Nana isn't letting it get to her head and growing conceited about it raises Minori's opinion of her. Just then, Cersei enters the room, standing beside the small platform that the cadets are seated in front of. Everyone, please stand up. Commander Kinnison wishes to share a few words with you. This is confidential information, so do not speak of any of this to anyone else. As the cadets rise to their feet, tension builds in the air. Attention on deck! But when Commander Kinnison enters, his appearance fills the cadets with a different sort of tension. His entire physical appearance can be summed up with a single word: ugly. He looks nothing like the propaganda photos of him that are circulating on Earth. His face is reminiscent of some kind of repulsive reptile. His round, flabby form is the very opposite of virile masculinity. Is this the man who's the hero of the CC War, rivaling Lizette's gallantry? The brave commander that pushed for the cathedral's construction that established and built up the Special Warfare Trooper Corps? The man of steel who, despite losing his family to the CC invasion of Mars, never once let himself give in to his burning desire for revenge? Is he really this disgusting, dumb-looking lump of flesh? His face is so deformed like a caricature of his pictures on Earth that it's even impossible to tell if he notices the gaze of disgust and disdain the cadets are giving him. This fat, disgusting lump of flesh that supposedly Commander Kinnison stands atop the platform scrutinizing the cadets. His gaze lacks any of that heroic ambition he's known for. Many of the cadets visibly shudder underneath it. Firstly, allow me to apologize. The voice in this ugly, fat creature is somber and clear. I'm sure many among you feel as though you've been duped. That much is only natural. What happened to you was nothing short of a foul sneak attack. Without any forewarning, you were unwillingly thrown out into that environment and forced into a battle for your very survival. Commander Kinnison bows his head deeply to the cadets. As Supreme Commander of this base and the man charged with leading you, I offer my deepest, most heartfelt apology. I wish for you to know why we partake in such vile methods and why the military tolerates this. The commander remains silent for some time, his head bowed. A heavy silence hangs over the room. The cadets hesitate to so much as breathe, lest they break it. The commander eventually lifts his head, but this time his eyes contain a sharp glint. I'm sure that during your special warfare trooper training, you have asked yourself and each other this question already. How and by what means does one deploy their special warfare gear? In her mind, Minori begs for him to stop. She already knows somehow, but she doesn't want to admit it to herself, not even if the facts are already self-evident before her very eyes. As you were trained, you were repeatedly told it was classified information. It was never explained to you by your instructors. They could not explain it to you because they did not know the truth either. She cannot imagine the truth. No, that's not true. She simply doesn't want to think about it, even when it is already staring at her in the face. It's exactly the same way she chose not to think of Mitsumi and consider a future together with him. The CC lack what we might describe as culture and science. Instead, they are blessed with an unknown power mankind cannot analyze. In the face of this power, the civilization we painstakingly built up is powerless to resist. To think that this two-faced Janus of a man, bringer of both glory and calamity to humanity, is helpless in the face of their power. How is it then that mankind survives to this day? It is because we use the CC's power against them. Ah, it's just as I thought. That thought occurs to Minori long before the commander finishes his words. She becomes keenly aware of her belly, where even now she can feel something writhing inside her. The CC tissue inserted into your wombs is what allows the special warfare gear's operation, granting mankind the power to oppose the CC. The acquisition of that tissue was the first mission you were forced to deploy for. A few of the cadets failed to hold in their moans of disgust. Minori looks to her side, catching sight of Nana placing a hand over her belly. The other girl looks down at herself as if her very own body is now some strange alien creature. I'm sure some of you feel a great deal of indignation. Why does it have to be women? Why does it have to be young women? I'm sure many of you are sneering at me. You must be wondering, why is it that this man standing upon this podium won't offer up his own body to the cause? The answer is as simple as it is cruel. A man's body cannot survive the process. Early in the war, many men were put in the same situation that you were. The process of having that special organ implanted in them killed every single one of them. Many other women, your predecessors, also died in the process. That all changed when Lizette Agarwal, by accident, made a breakthrough. The mere mention of Lizette's name made Minori's heart beat faster. Oh, well, yeah, it causes Minori's heart to beat faster, but, you know. Lizette had experienced the same humiliation and pain as Minori, and unlike Minori, Lizette didn't have any special training to prepare herself. She proved with her own flesh and blood that the organ the CC implanted in her is mankind's sole means of resisting the CC. The brave few that followed in her footsteps followed the original special warfare troopers. Their success saved Earth in its darkest hour. The other two who were with Lizette when she saved Minori, they were probably among the original special warfare troopers too. The people of Earth don't know how great personal sacrifices those girls suffered in... What? Hold on. Let me redo that. The people of Earth don't know the great personal sacrifices those girls suffered in order to protect them. You weren't informed of this either. Why? Because many would not accept that we must rely on the CC's power to oppose them. Very few can accept that humiliating truth while having the courage to fight on. Minori thinks to herself that this isn't true. Even if she had known this, she still would have volunteered. Surely most of the Officers Academy graduates would think the same. And I'm sure many of you are thinking this. No, I would have still fought. I'd have volunteered anyway. You would have willingly taken on this evil, humiliating trial. As if reading Minori's mind, the commander continues. But even that would not be enough. Many of you have likely noticed that there are far fewer of you than there are now. But even that would not be enough. Many of you have likely noticed that there are far fewer of you now. The casualty rate is high. Less than 1 out of 3 survive. Only 1 out of 5 special warfare troopers successfully accept the organ. And of them, only a scant few survive a year's worth of battles. That is the nature of this battlefield we fight upon. I ended up coming to one messed up place. Minori hears Nana whisper beside her. To compensate for these great casualties, we must gather a large number of candidates each year, regardless of how we might be vilified for the foul way we go about it. The commander trails off. He takes a slow look around, gazing at the cadets. In order to bring about the day of our victory, I will consume and expend you. To secure the Earth's future, I will ruthlessly send you to combat as disposable pawns. Curse me if you will, hate me, if it will put your hearts at ease. So long as you continue to fight, your hatred is an easy burden for me to bear. For if you lose your will to fight, a tidal wave of CC will envelop our world, until we and all we hold dear are utterly destroyed. The commander's tone suddenly softens. Of course, that's only the worst-case scenario. Should any of you prove to be as capable as Lizette, this war could end in the blink of an eye. Minori thinks of her pendant, the one Lizette gave her. The keepsake led her down this path she swore to follow. If only Minori could stand by her side. She dreamed of it so many times. I truly hope with all of my heart that one of you will prove to be that someone, because if so, we will no longer have to treat the lives and souls of other human beings as an expendable commodity. I congratulate you on your new post. You are no longer cadets, but members of the Special Warfare Trooper Corps. Graduates of the Officers Academy have the rank of First Lieutenant. The rest of you are Second Lieutenants. The base welcomes you. That is all. Attention on deck! Minori, along with the rest of the alumni of the Officers Academy, all perform perfect salutes. The other cadets hastily imitate them. It's white text on a white background. Though their movements are uncoordinated and imprecise. I will now announce your new room assignments. We'll send them to your terminals as well, but do listen carefully. She quickly goes through their new assignments in a detached tone of voice.
呼び出された者は前へ来て受け取ってから各自部屋へ向かってください。
I will also hand over your encased wands. When your name is called, step forward, take your wand, and go to your room. After changing into their uniforms in the locker room, Minori and the other girls return to their rooms. Hey, Minori, did you know about this? Nana looks at her with frightened eyes. That alone makes it clear what she means by this. Very few come back. Well, really, Satoru told me, you shouldn't apply, you'll just embarrass yourself, but he said that out of kindness. For some reason, Minori can't help but think that probably wasn't the case. But see, Lizette has survived since the very beginning, and so has Cersei. I guess, but if I die, Satoru's just gonna hook up with another chick in no time. Minori tries to think of some way to comfort Nana. Don't worry, after all. Getting along already? At some point, the Russian beauty had slipped into their room without them noticing. Huh? When did you come in? Right after you two. That's when. What? Yeah, right after you two. That's when. But you were off in your own little world and didn't notice me. Not that I can blame you for being scared. I mean, there were 203 of us when we came here, but only 56 of us survived. Holy shit. No! From how empty the deployment port had been, Minori already knew that many of them were dead. But was it really as awful as 3 out of every 4? But there's the senior troopers, right? The prospects are pretty dim, you know. Only 5 troopers showed up to save us. So if we survive a year... Yeah, well, I'm planning on surviving this. I don't know if you'll be that fortunate, though. That's not true. We're really lucky. Huh? We are? I mean, we're all from the same room and we survived. I'm pretty sure we're the only ones who got that lucky. You think? I mean, you're right. Yep, this is one lucky room. Nana happily beams at them. The Russian girl just raises an eyebrow at Minori, as if asking what's wrong with their roommate. Minori is tense. She doesn't want to let the Russian girl say anything that might depress Nana further, even if it means getting into an argument. However... You're not wrong. We probably are the only room that didn't lose anyone. Minori isn't happy to have her suspicions from before proved correct, but she's glad the Russian girl isn't denying that they were lucky. It seems she's not some callous girl who only knows how to lash out at people. You figured that out quickly. The Russian girl shrugs. If you don't catch on quick, you'll get the short end of the stick every time. Oh, right. How about we have another round of introductions? I mean, last time we were really preoccupied and the atmosphere was all wrong. Okay, Minori, you go first. Huh? Me?
Hmm.
Yeah, you're like the, class representative, you know? The one that tells everyone to bow to the teacher when they walk in? What, is that your idea of a compliment? No, it's just my impression. A personal impression. I'm Minoru Iizuka. I was born on Mars. I volunteered for this from the Officers Academy. I'm Nana Kisaragi. I'm from Japan. I'm a high school graduate and I passed the entrance exams to get here. Just call me Nana. Lame. Don't call it lame, I like my name. Ah, like I said, Minorin, you can just call me Nana. Minorin? Isn't that a cute name? Fine, I'll just call you Minori. I'm Yushka Prochavina. I'm from St. Petersburg in Russia. I only graduated middle school. I started working after that. I got my high school certification while working, and then I ended up here, that's all. Even though her voice sounds somewhat annoyed, it still seems to suit her when it comes from her beautiful lips. She looks smart. Did she not go to high school because of family problems or something? Ah, now I remember! Nana raises her voice suddenly and eagerly points at Yusha. I thought I recognized you from somewhere, Yusha. You're from that three-member idol unit, right? The one that flopped? No way! The flop part I could do without, but yeah, I won't deny it. She's not denying it. Minori is unable to keep herself from staring at Yusha, regardless of how rude she knows she's being. It was shocking enough for Minori to hear that Nana only came because someone else told her it was a good way to make money. But what is an idol doing here? Is this her idea of starting a new life after her idol group flopped? Is this her idea of changing professions? Where are the other two? Did you break up your unit because you weren't popular? What's it to you? Who even cares what happens to an idol group that flopped? Minori is filled with a sense of foreboding. She can't put her finger on it, but she gets the feeling that the conversation has moved to a dangerous topic. Nana, people have their reasons. Did you have a fight and broke up? Or did you... They died just today. Her voice is terribly flat. It feels like she's trying to hold something back that's about to overflow. That's not just a figure of speech saying you broke up because you weren't popular, right? Do you mean in the battle earlier? Yeah, I couldn't save them. Ayusha grips her encased wand tightly, and probably contains some item related to her friends. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Are you mad at me? What am I supposed to say? Yes, I'm mad at you. I'd look stupid.
Yeah,
Oh, that's good. But really, I'm sorry. That's not good at all. Nana, are you the kind of person who doesn't think before you open your mouth? I do think, but the words just leave my mouth before I finish thinking. That's pretty much the same thing, Minori thinks to herself. She gives Yusha a concerned glance. Are you okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it's too soon to answer that question. Yes, I'm fine, I'm fine. I figured people here drop like flies when I realize hardly anyone comes back. And besides, who knows when an idol group that flop might break up. Her words make it sound like she doesn't think much of it, but Minori remains concerned. So you really didn't get along? You know what? Yeah, I'm pissed at you now. Yeah, don't hit me! Stop! I'm sorry, I am! Yusha glares daggers at Nana, but the only thing she kicks is Nana's overly large trunk. It lets out a surprisingly loud, almost exaggerated thud. It's probably pointless saying this to a stupid and sensitive moron like you, but yeah, of course I hate the way this ended. Why did I alone survive? Why me out of all of us? She kicks the trunk again with another loud thud. I'm sorry, I spoke without thinking. I'm so sorry. A group of idols that sing and dance and fight? What the fuck were they thinking? Asking the military for sponsorship of all things? Fuck the agency. Yeah, sure, we flopped. We flopped hard, but still. Yeah, all three of us were athletic, but throwing us out into the battlefield? Are they fucking nuts? That's messed up. It's crazy. Those idiots and their fucking brain worms. Sure, they made us hold rifles and wear those skimpy borderline string bikinis where they took those propaganda photos. But those were toy guns, damn it. With every kick from Yusha, Nana's trunk flies up and lands hard on the floor. Minori wonders if she should tell Yusha to stop, that she's gone far enough and she can't bring herself to speak up. I looked this place up and the casualty rate here is crazy high, so I told them let's not go, we can make it even if we don't really sell well. But Yam Yam had to say that we're all gonna die someday, so let's go for broke. And because she said that, even Anne, the little coward, ended up agreeing. Then they said all three of us had to pass. Yet, for whatever fucking reason, we all did. Those two didn't become idols so those gross monsters could kill them, but I survived! I'm still alive when they're dead! The lock of Nana's trunk pops open with a click, spilling her luggage out onto the floor. Without a target for her frustration, Yusha falls still, her shoulders heaving as she gasps for breath. Nana crouches on the floor as if trying to make herself seem as small as possible. She starts packing her luggage back into her trunk, speaking in the thinnest voice she can. I'm really sorry. I kept on saying things when I didn't know anything. Minori crouches next to Nana and helps her gather her things. Nana's large trunk is full of pretty clothes and outfits, as well as cute underwear and lingerie. Aha! Anne's trunk was full of those kinds of clothes, too. Ayusha also squats down next to the two of them. She folds up Nana's fallen clothes with brisk, careful movements before handing them back over. That was wrong of me. You might be dumb and insensitive, but it's not like you were the one who killed those two. Dumb and insensitive. I mean, you know, we all went through hell. Or, like, living's really tough, so... Minori tenses up. Is Nana gonna put her foot in her mouth again? I had to bear a lot of people looking at all the parts that only ever show Satoru. In front of so many people. It's awful. This place is really awful. It's not nearly as bad as what Ayusha is going through. Minori tries to think of how to cut Nana off gracefully, but she's never been in this kind of social situation before. What the hell? You really are dumb. That's nowhere near as awful. Besides, so what if they saw you naked? It's not like you lose anything by it. If I couldn't deal with people ogling me, I'd have quit a long time ago. So idols even have nude pictures taken, like back during the inspection. I said borderline string bikinis, not actual string bikinis. Borderline! My nipples weren't showing, if only barely. I haven't done any nude photos yet. Good for you then, but I've lost something. I've lost something important. What am I gonna tell Satoru? Nana fiddles with her encased wand as she speaks. Minori assumes it contains something from that unfortunate boyfriend of hers. Just don't tell him. It's not like you'll ever see him again. Both you and me are gonna die out here. That's not true. He said he'll follow me here. Ayusha looks utterly fed up, but she says nothing else. Minori feels the same way, but she holds her tongue as well. Satoru breaks his promises all the time, but that's just because he forgets. He really intends to keep them. If he really wanted to keep those promises, he wouldn't forget them so easily now, or would... Now, would he? Yeah, that makes sense. Ayusha gazes at the ugly face sitting opposite of her. Their respective appearances are diametrically opposed, with her beauty contrasting his hideousness. Aren't you gonna ask me? Ask me why that colleague of yours disappeared even after making it back to the cathedral? Would you answer if I asked, sir? I'm surprised. Your file suggests that you're someone who survives by knowing when to steer clear of danger. For just one brief moment, Ayusha allows herself to bite her lip, but she does nothing else beyond that, maintaining an otherwise completely blank expression. Her face is entirely still, like a beautiful mask. And indeed, when it came to applying for the Special Warfare Trooper Corps, you get that right, no, you didn't so much volunteer as you were forced by your agency, yet you resisted every step of the way? As you should have. The Special Warfare Trooper Corps high mortality rate isn't publicized, but the fact that very few return from service clearly implies as much. Ayusha says nothing, allowing Kinnison to continue in an indifferent tone of voice. But let us return to the topic at hand. Sure enough, even if you were to ask, I have no obligation to tell you. That's because, in a manner of speaking, you three were a special exception. In exchange for us providing your agency with some picturesque content, They added a clause which specifies that no matter what we do to the three of you, they will not file any charges. For all they are concerned, they're happy to have gotten rid of stock they couldn't sell. To them, losing you is all the same as having you around. That's what it comes down to. Ayusha Petrovna, you were sold off to the military. No, to the cathedral. You are the slaves of antiquity who were deprived of their human rights. Did you realize that? No, sir. Her voice is completely flat and bereft of emotion. I see. So you didn't know, but you had your suspicions. You're very bright, perhaps even too bright for your own good. I hope you make good use of that wit of yours going forward, Ayusha Petrovna. I'm sure you'll find plenty of opportunities that will require it. Should you prove capable of doing so, as I expect you will, I will tell you the reason why your colleague who did return to the base is absent, I promise. That is all I have to tell you at this point in time. I hope I will have a chance to call for you like this again, Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna. Ayusha remained silent, only giving Kinesona a flawless salute, again, white text on white background, before leaving his office. February 15th. Minori thinks to herself that outer space feels hot today, too. It feels dry and warm, not unlike the air of the Sahara when she stayed in the refugee camps that were set up for the people of the Moon and Mars. Waves from the flares of the red giant Purgatorio wash over them. Turning around, Minori spots Nana a short distance behind her, with Ayusha behind Nana in turn. She didn't need to look to confirm their positions, though. You didn't have to turn around, you know. Wait, you two? I mean, it's kind of nerve-wracking if I don't look. Minori nods to herself. That's right. It doesn't feel natural to use her senses like that. Just by concentrating on what's behind her, she can see them. No, not see. It's more like she can sense them, but her perception is far sharper than the word implies. Once she deploys her special warfare gear, Minori can feel her senses completely change. She can feel the light and the waves from the flares of Purgatorio. Even the darkness of space, she can tell the faint differences between different interstellar bodies. The cathedral is too distant to sense at this point, though. She can, however, feel the gaping, funnel-like singularity in space. Based on her knowledge of the sector, the cathedral is in the same general direction. When she flies through space like this, it feels like hot air is licking all over her skin. It's almost as if she's naked. Until just a short while ago, she found herself repeatedly checking that the special warfare gear was still on her, sighing in relief whenever she confirmed that it was. Of course, since she's wearing her special warfare trooper uniform, she isn't technically naked, but apparently this is a unique sensory illusion. The special warfare gear transmits information from her combat uniform, which her brain then translates into sensory feedback. Minori, don't go too far ahead! Oh, sorry! She keeps making this mistake. She only recently got used to flying, and she still finds herself naturally soaring in her desired direction without even meaning to. As a result, she often ends up breaking away from the rest of the formation. You're just going too slow, you dunce! Well, can you blame me? Unlike you two, I've got a lot of weight! Minori's gear is only lightly armored to accommodate the powerful blades that deploy around her, making her adept at melee combat. However, strong as she can't always decisively cleave straight through the enemy. Nana's special warfare gear is designed primarily for defense, though she backs that up with heavy, ponderous attacks. The field she generates around herself is extremely sturdy, allowing her to crush CC flyers in a single swing. In contrast to both of them, Ayusha is a unit optimized for range support. She can deploy remote-controlled flying attack drones she calls bits from either arm. By working in tandem with her bits, she offers tactical flexibility with preemptive strikes from afar. Minori slows down her flight speed. This strange dimension in the middle of the cosmos is about as wide as the orbit of Jupiter from their solar system. The space sector around the cathedral is only a small portion of the dimension, but it still feels vast by human standards. To break it down, the farthest area is observable from the cathedral about four times as far away as the moon is from Earth. In other words, the sector surrounding the cathedral is about 1,510,000 kilometers in radius, or 3,020,000 kilometers in diameter. But as vast as this space is, the flying CC can swoop in and reach the cathedral in the blink of an eye. Even mankind's most advanced sensor technology can't detect the CC early enough for any forces stationed at the cathedral to have time to respond. In other words, by the time the cathedral detects the CC, it will already be too late. The cathedral's answer to this issue is a truly anachronistic one. They send the special warfare troopers on patrols. The ideal scenario is that the patrols are the first to detect any approaching CC. Even if the CC slip through and are only detected by the cathedral itself, then at least the special warfare troopers will already be deployed and ready to intercept them. The rookies are assigned to carry out these patrols. At this very moment, four other teams, each of which contained three rookies, have been dispatched during the 6-hour-long span of time. These patrols might seem like too great of a responsibility for rookies lacking live combat experience, but in truth, it is an ideal assignment for them. Every year at the end of August, Paradise Lost approaches the cathedral from which the CC launch a large-scale attack on the base. That event, dubbed the August Offensive, is a savage battle that inflicts heavy casualties onto the special warfare troopers. After August, Paradise Lost drifts away from the cathedral. Currently, it is February. Paradise Lost is at its furthest, meaning that very few CC patrols come near the cathedral. In order to preserve their strength, veterans who have served 2 or more years are not sorted unless there is an emergency. This means that there is little chance that the rookies will get to fight alongside Lizette. The fact leaves Minori a bit disappointed. But I have to say, Minori, your panties are really cute. You should wear them all the time. You look cute in them. Minori reflexively grabs the hem of her short skirt, yanking it down. Well, where are you looking? It's true, the undergarments manifested by her special warfare gear are quite fetching. They're made of pink transparent fabric, except for where they cover her crotch. Even there, the shape of her petals is clearly visible where they press against the thin material. The T-string design leaves a great deal of her buttocks visible from behind, and the prints are decorated with lace. Her skirt is so short and fluttery that it easily flips up. It offers no offensive or defensive benefits. As if that wasn't enough, she doesn't even have a bra. I'm flying below you, so they're right in my field of vision. But they look good on you. You don't have to be ashamed of them showing. Incidentally, Nana's definitions of above and below are based on the cathedral. The cathedral's top spire is above, and the main anchor is below. It serves as a point of reference for what is up and down in this zero-gravity space. However, they need to learn how to break away from this makeshift definition soon. I know you're supposed to be a lightly armored, high-speed attacker, but don't you think you're stretching the idea of lightly armored a bit too far? Minori doesn't have to look to know that Yusha is smirking. It shouldn't have been like this. My gear was different during training. She'd have it changed if she could, but once special warfare gear manifests, it can't be changed. I bet the outfit you had in mind is like a worker or soldier's uniform. I think the way you look now is much... They're coming! MBAC! MBAC! This is G-14! CC detected! Ayusha, who has the widest detection radius, calls out. She doesn't use normal communications, but a special transmission unique to the cathedral. Where are they? 5 enemy divisions, a total of 25. Ayusha soars up, deploying what looked like a pair of golden wings from her arms as she does. These remote-controlled flying assault drones, known as bits, are a core component of her special warfare equipment. The two bits fly through space, leaving a glowing trail in their wake. As they accelerate towards their target, they burst forth with blinding light. The laser beams the bits fired hit the flying CC head-on. They leave large, charred holes in the CC's bodies, causing them to spasm in agony as they fall out of formation. Those are those dick-type aliens! I hate them! Minori takes the situation with a glance. These are the CC's reconnaissance units. As Nana astutely pointed out, they have penis-like protrusions growing from their bodies. When she first saw them, Minori thought they looked like some kind of grotesque pistol. But after hearing Nana describe them as dicks, she can't see them as anything other than penises. I'm definitely seeing them more as flowers, though, folks. I would see, you know. That said, it wasn't as if Nana was particularly perverted for describing them like that. Apparently, other special warfare troopers come to the same conclusion in the past. To that end, this type of CC was dubbed Flying Boner, or FB for short. 5 FBs approach them in a pentagon formation, and Minori can sense another formation of 4 behind that one. A user's detection never comes with false positives, but she's slower to detect enemies approaching from beneath them. Therein lies the problem with relying on the cathedral for the definition of up and down. Human perception will always focus on things approaching from the front, but it's far less attuned to things from behind, above, and below. There are too many CC coming at once. As soon as she directs her attention towards them, Minori begins accelerating downwards to the storm toward the swarm of CC. She will defeat them. She has the power to defeat them. Minori's belly pulsates with heat. As disgusting as it is, she has to accept this power. The CC tissue within her womb enters a state of heightened activity. Her body flares up with heat. An old, seething sensation surges up in her chest, choking her up. Her skin becomes hypersensitive until the empty space around her somehow feels thick and heavy. Another flash streaks through the darkness of space, causing 2 more CC to crumble away from the formation. However, an instant later, the bits disappear from view. Ayusha lets out a sound like a moan, just as a gigantic flash of light shoots past Minori and smashes directly into the swarm of CC. The 2 remaining CC in the first of the 2 formations at the front are destroyed, while a third of the formation behind it is also annihilated. This is the sheer force of Gugnir, Ayusha's strongest weapon. At the moment, it is most likely the strongest armament against the newly appointed special warfare troopers. But even after that attack, a dozen or so enemies break through and bear down on Nana. Minori plunges down at an angle, moving to intercept the enemy. She extends her arms forward, producing billowing flames that extend into the form of a gigantic lance. The CC formation is unable to match Minori's speed. In moments, 5 of them are easily dispatched. Yet those that remain, now numbering less than 10, charge directly towards Nana all the same. With a peculiar vroom sound, Nana forms a prismatic shield around herself. Minori shrinks her flames to half their size as she wraps them around her body. She burns through space in a wide arc, circling around to cut off the CC attempting to close in on Nana from behind. It seems like Minori should reach Nana in time, but that's just an illusion created by the Special Warfare Gear sensory expansion. They are, in fact, over 100 miles apart from each other. While by terrestrial standards this might seem like too long of a distance, they have to keep their spacing wide for the sake of expanding their detection radius while on patrol. On top of that, all 3 of them are moving at high speeds. If they didn't keep this much distance between them, they would run the risk of crashing into each other. Apparently back in the early days, before the Corps were properly organized, such accidents were commonplace. Now, unless they need to communicate closely or take cover behind another defense specialized trooper, they rarely ever clump together. Ayusha deploys her bits again, raining attacks on the CC trying to swarm Nana, but 5 of them still remain, clinging to Nana's flickering prismatic shield. No, 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 stay away! Part of Nana's prismatic shield turns into a giant hammer that swings down on the CC clinging to it. One of them is crushed into a smear of blue body fluids. The CC that remain begin to thrust against her shield, pecking away at it with their phallic protrusions. Go away! You're gross! Get crushed! Her giant hammer swings down again, this time squishing 2 CC at once. Yet their phallic organs alone survive her attack, continuing to drill into her shield. Letting out another sigh, Ayusha fires another flash that brushes against the shield, burning away any CC that still retain their form. But 3 phallic organs penetrate the shield, drilling toward Nana as they gouge their way through. No! No! Stay away from me! Something that big won't fit! TMI. No! No! Nana frantically swings her hammer in all directions, but she can't reach enemies that are already inside her shield. They move in from below, steadily creeping their way under her skirt. Minori, we're counting on you! Ayusha's attacks are no use here. Her bits won't penetrate Nana's shield, and firing Gugnir runs the risk of hitting Nana too. But what is Minori supposed to do? Nana grows larger in Minori's vision. The CC are too close to her. True, Minori's armaments can accurately destroy enemies at close range, but if she were to attack inside Nana's barrier, it might end up throwing off her aim, which means she also risks hitting Nana, the same as Ayusha. In that case... Nana, drop your shield! Minori is determined. She'll save Nana and kill those aliens. Her belly heats up again, causing warmth to course through her body. The empty space around her feels as though it's caressing her sweaty skin. A sense of vertigo overcomes her as her inner thighs tremble. Fire coils around her extended arms, gradually growing thicker and hotter. The shape it takes isn't so much a lance as it is a rapier. I can't do that, but I don't want to get fucked by aliens again. Minori, you meanie? Nana and a rainbow shield are now right above Minori. Minori is on a collision course with her, but she isn't slowing down. She shoots out. 3, 2, 1, 0. Fine, I'll do it. As Nana raises her voice in something between a moan and a scream, the prismatic shield disappears. Minori whizzes right past her, swinging her rapier. Just as the CC are about to slither into Nana's skirt, the top of Minori's blade tears through them and cuts them into shreds. All CC eliminated. 14 will resume patrol duties. Before Minori is a large, fancy, delicious-looking chocolate parfait. It's hard enough to believe that they get something like this for free, but it's also made of real ingredients with no synthesized food substitutes. When Minori casually examines the logo on the glass, she realizes she recognizes it. She recalls how Mitsumi once remarked, "Oh yeah, my family bought this company." She shakes her head. She already said her goodbyes to Mitsumi. What's the point of remembering him now? But that said, too many things invoked his memory. This cup, this tiny spacesuit, the ventilators on the walls, the 3-bunk bed, the airlock hatch. All of these were deployed by companies either directly or covertly controlled by Mitsumi's family. Well, everything worked out. We didn't even have to pick up your remains. Wow, mean. That means I'd be dead. You shouldn't say that. That's mean. Nana lifts her head up to retort, though she never once stopped puffing. She never once stops her face. Blah. Nana lifts her head up to retort, though she never once stopped stuffing her face with her strawberry parfait. This isn't even her first one. She had a melon parfait just before. Tell you, anime girls live on fucking sweets. Waifus live on desserts. I don't get it. They don't gain any weight. But they live on desserts and sugar water. Collecting corpses is one of the special warfare troopers' duties. In order to limit the CC's ability to collect intel to use against them, the special warfare troopers must collect the remains of any dead comrades whenever possible. The removal of debris and collection of corpses in the cathedral's vicinity is one of the duties the male officers have. Because of this, some of the rookie special warfare troopers call them hyenas. Minori thinks to herself that such a name isn't appropriate. After all, the task is important in its own right, still. Are you stupid? When I say we didn't have to collect your remains, it means the opposite. You're not dead. The way things are, just being able to count yourself among the living is a privilege. You could just say you're happy we saved Nana in time. They're trying to distract Nana from thinking about such things for a different reason, though. That's right, but wait, you're the one who killed the aliens who were trying to attack me, Minori. Why aren't you eating then? I don't think we'd have been this lucky if Yusha wasn't covering us. And you're just eating too fast, Nana. Minori carries a spoonful of her chocolate parfait to her lips. It's already warm and runny. As good as sweets taste, she hasn't really gotten used to them yet. Really? Okay, so she doesn't live off sweets normally. Yeah, good thing we saved you in time. After all, you'd be a heavy corpse to carry, what with those boobs and butt of yours. Ayusha's the odd one out. She's chosen to have a black iced coffee. Oh, that's coffee. Rather than enjoying a parfait together with them. Her figure, while holding it in her hand, is quite elegant. They might be big, but I'm not fat. Sweets go in a different stomach, you know, Nana says, quickly moving away her now empty second glass. Minori's a bit shocked by this. Where do all those sweets go? Her boobs? Her butt? Both? Well, like I said, just being alive is a privilege. Compared to that, being seen naked is nothing. It is not nothing. I mean, you're used to people seeing you naked, Ayusha, so maybe you don't care. I think I'll go with a chocolate parfait next. Seeing yours gave me an appetite. Nana raises her hand, beckoning a waiter robot wandering around the tables. She's still eating more? Minori can't even begin to fathom how she manages it. I'm not used to being seen naked. We flopped, so we never went further than those horny swimsuits. I'll admit that they were mostly string, though. Well, that's part of it, but they say showbiz is all about sleeping your way up to the top. Nana, don't you think that's better left unsaid? I guess. She probably doesn't want to remember that. That's not Minori's point. It's just that it's rude to make those kind of dirty conclusions based on hearsay the media likes to circulate. I bet some people think exactly that. I mean, out of three of us, I'm the only one wearing this. When off duty like they are now, Minori and Nana wear their army uniforms, but Ayusha chooses to wear the Special Warfare Trooper Corps' combat uniform. Given how revealing it is, the rookies have naturally started calling it the kink suit. Yeah, so maybe you're fine with getting stripped naked and having your down there looked at, but... Minori cradles her head in her hands. Those are two different things. Troopers that have their barriers penetrated have to go through the same inspection that the girls went through after their first transformation. It's to ensure that they haven't been further infested by the CC. Because her barrier was penetrated during that last battle, Nana was subjected to the inspection. The experience left her miserable and depressed, so Minori and Ayusha brought her here to cheer her up. That brings them all to the here and now. They already saw everything when they disinfected us. What's the point of being shy about it now? Minori doesn't feel the same way, but Ayusha has a point. Ayusha isn't alone in her choice of attire. About a third of the female rookies similarly choose to wear the kink suit while off duty. That's interesting. The men are probably undressing us all in their... The men are probably undressing us in their heads all the time, either way. Yep, that's probably true.
Satoru is my everything. He's looking at me and touching me.
Not all men are like that. Satoru already saw everything I've got to offer. And he's touched me and put it in me so he doesn't have to imagine anything. He saw it all up close and personal. No, that's wrong somehow. It's like a problem of perspective or attitude, or it's problematic. And is it what you said way worse? Well, even if you ignore the fact that Nana can't shut the hell up about her boyfriend, the guys have been spending years here looking at naked women. Like, yeah, they would feel that way. And indeed, even as the girls sit back and relax like this, Minori can feel the clinging, disgusting leers of a man directed their way. It's the same as showbiz. They see women and the only thing on their minds is getting into our pants. So they keep sizing us up with their gross gazes. Freaks, am I right? Most of the male officers would at least look away and feign ignorance once they realize the girls had noticed, but the senior male officers are a different level of nasty. This man is an especially bad case. He keeps ogling Minori without even a hint of restraint. When they first returned from surviving the CC, it was the one who ordered the soldiers to hold up Minori's naked figure for all to see. Minori glares back at him, but it only gives her a nasty smirk in return. What a horrible man. Ayusha whispers to Minori. You should watch out for that guy, Minori. That's Anthony Callahan. He's one of the most senior officers here, but he's got a terrible reputation. Nana also whispers to Minori. I'm scared of him too. If I ran into him at night, I'd totally run. I wish they would just throw him in jail, even if he didn't do anything. Some part of Minori agrees with that, but... No, that's not fair. You can't throw people in jail for no reason. Besides, Minori thinks to herself as if this man must be after Ayusha or Nana. Minori has to be just an afterthought. Minori knows better than anyone that she's not attractive or the type to be pursued by men. I can't believe we could just get molested at any time here. I can't write to Satoru about this. Space in the pasta tube is unstable, causing any transmission sent through it to be reduced to garbled noise. Because of that, the only way of contacting Earth is to send letters via the periodic transport ships. Maybe you just shouldn't write to him about it? Oh, right. I'll just tell him it's like a courtly gala in here. Ah, here it comes. This looks good, too. Nana's eyes sparkled for all sorts of reasons. A courtly gala? That'll just make him suspicious. Besides, whether you lie or not, you do know they inspect our letters, right? Right, then I guess I don't have to worry. Whatever I write, they'll just change it to, this is a great workplace, the salary is high with benefits, and the atmosphere is cozy and homey or something. Minori cradles her head again. They're already censoring us. Don't encourage them. It's fine, I'm dumb. So I wouldn't know what to write in the first place. So censor away, I can just think of it as a free editing pass. Minori gives Nana an exasperated look, but Ayusha only smiles teasingly. I don't know what they taught you at the Officers Academy, but this is what it's like in the army. Minori wishes that it wasn't true, but she can't deny that the army does have that kind of side to it. I think not forgetting your ideals is important. That's the best response she can manage. Nana is happily devouring her third parfait when her hands suddenly stop. Oh, it's not just Satoru. I should send my brother a letter too. Ugh, what a drag. I'll just tell him I'm doing fine. You might as well not send him a letter at all then. Minori feels a little jealous. She has no one to write letters to. She'd always wanted to join the Special Warfare Trooper Corps, assuming that that would be her final fate. After all, her entire family is dead. Suddenly, Masumi's face flashes in her mind. She immediately banishes the image, though. He is a thing of the past. The past she left behind. The past she fled from. Is she regretting the fact she did that? Even if she is, it's too late to change anything now. She won't regret anything else. She has no choice but to feel this way. Alright guys, well that's going to be where we end it. There's been a lot that happened. From the examination, which some of you might not have seen because there were scenes I had to cut in the beginning. To the fight. And then a large discussion about male behavior, which I didn't expect. Really weird to see all these kind of what really sound kind of like feminist talking points popping up in this game. Very unexpected. But I guess maybe it's the changing nature of Japan? I don't know. Weird to see it pop up in Eroge. But that seems to be what's going on, especially since all the senior male cadets are looked at as, you know, perverts and... I'm really kind of confused on this one. There's a lot of just feminism in it. And I'm not sure if that's part of the translation or that's the actual script. I don't know. If there's anybody who wants to verify that for me, I would appreciate it. Because I know how these things kind of happen. But, you know, Jazz, they usually don't do anything like that. So it's more or less a legit script. And if it is a legit script, then it shows that Japan is definitely changing in their approach to Eroge, because this game came out fairly recently. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord. I'm out of here. I'll see you guys later. Yeah.